1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just going to read. I didn't tell Colton to put this on the screen, but I'm just going to read four verses right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So everybody needs to turn there, all right? Or get your phones out. Check your app. But then put your phone away if you're not looking at Scripture, okay? But help me out there. But today's theme is, we talked about last week how a disciple responds to conviction. And again, our goal this year is to become a disciple and then to make disciples. That's our theme for 2025. Today, the theme is disciple, one who does not quench the Spirit. What in the world does that mean? But here, I got to read verse 16 too and through 19. I love this passage of Scripture. Rejoice evermore. Guess what that means, y'all? Always be joyful. Is that easy for anybody? But the Bible commands it. That's a great principle in God's Word. Through the good and the bad, through the ugly, through the sweet, we are to rejoice evermore. Always be joyful. Verse 17. Well, you got to love this, right? Pray without ceasing. That means never stop praying. Never stop praying. Somebody need to hear that today. Somebody led me to not only read verse 19, but somebody need to hear verse 17 today. Boy, never stop praying. And we can pray anytime, anywhere. Aren't you glad you don't need to go to the church house in order to pray? Pray wherever you're at. Now, if you're driving, watch and pray. Keep your eyes open, all right? That'll help everybody on the road. Pray without ceasing. I love that. How about this one? Annalore, where are you? Annalore's favorite verse, right there. Ready? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means we are to be thankful in all circumstances. You say, preacher, you don't know what circumstance I'm going through right now. But I got a promise from God's word, in everything give thanks. Can you be thankful for that today? Now, I've not even got to my message, but I'm having a good time already, all right? Verse 19, here it is. Say it with me, ready? Quench not the Spirit. In other words, do not stifle the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Quench not the Spirit. You say, preacher, where else is that mentioned in the Bible? It's not. This is the only place. And I'm going to make a message out of four words. Quench not the Spirit. I believe this command in Scripture is violated constantly. You ever thought about that? How many times have you quenched the Spirit? I'm not just picking on you. How many times have I quenched the Spirit? So I think it's violated constantly in our lives. Do you know God wants us walking in such obedience that we respond to the slightest moving of the Spirit in our hearts? Now let me explain how this happens. First of all, let's define what quench means. Stifle or put a stop to an urge. You ever had the urge to do something? All right? Well, quench means you put a stop to that urge. Don't brush off. Don't snub the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever snub somebody? Don't do that to the Holy Spirit. That is quenching him. Now, to quench your thirst is a very common expression. How many have heard that before? Say amen, right? Quench your thirst. Water's a good thirst quencher. But back in the 60s, they came up with this drink called Gatorade. And buddy, it was popular. But a chemist or a scientist on the campus of University of Florida made that concoction, and he tried it out on the football team, and buddy, it did wonders for them. What's happening when you're playing sports, you're losing a lot of fluids and electrolytes, and Gatorade is designed to satisfy thirst by replenishing those electrolytes and fluids. So we all know what that means, to quench your thirst. It's a very common expression. What happens when you quench your thirst? You put a stop to that urge. Did you get it? Once you get that tall drink of water or that Gatorade, then, hey, you feel refreshed. But this is exactly what one does when he quenches the Spirit. He puts a stop to an urge that the Holy Spirit plants with inside of him. We talked about the conviction of the Holy Spirit last week. What are you going to do with it? When you feel that conviction, a lot of people put a stop to that urge from the Holy Spirit. And that today is quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, when God speaks to us, you say, preacher, how does he speak to us? Through prayer. I believe he speaks through his word. He speaks through circumstances, things going on around you. He speaks through wise, godly counsel. Remember, I gave an illustration of that last week. Remember that? The pastor friend told the other pastor friend something that needed to be said, something that pastor needed to hear. God used it in his life. God's going to use some wise, godly counsel to help us. Also, he speaks through that still, small voice, urging us to do something, to not or not do this, do that, don't do that, whatever. But when God speaks to us in those ways, he's prompting us to do something. You know what we need to do, church? We need to respond and we need to obey. Obedience always brings blessings. And when the Spirit speaks to you through all those methods and he's wanting us to respond, he's prompting us to do something, if we brush him off, if we snub him, then we are quenching the Spirit. Now in salvation, before anyone can come to Christ, I mentioned this verse last week, the Holy Spirit must draw them. Remember John 6:44, here it is. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. God the Father does the prompting of the Holy Spirit within a person. And so we've got to respond as the Holy Spirit is convicting us of our need for the Savior. God does that. Now, I believe Romans 3:11 is so true. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You didn't go after Jesus. God came after you. And he wanted you to receive his Son. So he's drawing you, and the Spirit's part of that. All Christians go through this before salvation. You felt the drawing of the Spirit. Talked about it last week. Now, the Holy Spirit worked over a period of time in your life to draw you to himself. He used his goodness to draw you. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? It draws people to Jesus. How about this? He also uses trouble. Maybe people get saved as a result of trouble in their life. God's in control. Y'all agree with that? And he's using that trouble. He's using, here's another one, tragedy. I'm talking about something horrific, terrible in our lives. But God is using those things to draw us to himself. Many of you have some great testimonies of how he used trouble, how he used tragedy, how he even used his goodness to draw you to the Savior. God created the need and the desire in our hearts to be saved through many circumstances. Maybe being invited to church by a friend. Maybe we found ourselves in church. Maybe we were witnessed to by another Christian outside of church. But either way, God began to draw us to Christ. He started creating a hunger. He started creating a thirst in our hearts. And man, we became tired of our old life of sin. We started hungering for forgiveness. You know, there comes a thirst to know God. And I believe all that happens in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit in the process of salvation. Him drawing us to himself. And then we respond, we confess our sins, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are saved eternally. Amen? But then let's talk about after salvation. The Holy Spirit draws and directs us into his will each day. God has a will, He has a purpose, He has a plan for your life. And you need to be living in close harmony and communion with the Holy Spirit, because He is there to direct you. He is there to show you which way you ought to go. Now here's a great verse in Philippians 2:13. Ready? For it is God, say that with me, ready? For it is God, wow, which worketh in you. How does He do that? It's through the Holy Spirit, right? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I hate it when people say, I'm just going to pursue happiness. It's all about my pleasure. I want to do what I want to do. That is not why you're put on this earth. We are here for His good pleasure. And by the way, if you're living holy, you're loving Jesus, you're going to be happy. You're going to have a lot of pleasures in your life when you put Jesus first. So that's a principle we need to learn. It's God that works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God who works in us through the Holy Spirit. God begins from within. He begins His work in the heart. Now, He's also working on the outside through circumstances and other ways. But He wants us walking in such obedience that we respond to the slightest moving of the Spirit in our hearts, that still small voice within. So the Holy Spirit works within us to will. Now that word means desire. Can you say that with me? To will means desire. To desire. To do God's good pleasure. We have no desire. Listen very carefully. You have no desire to do His will apart from the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Let me just paraphrase the verse. God's working in you. How many agree with that, right? Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. He's working in our lives. That means every desire that you have to read the Word of God, does that come from your flesh or does that come from the Spirit? Come on now. And that's why a lot of people don't have a desire to read the Word, because they're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit. And we'll just neglect the Word of God. We'll put it to the side till next Sunday. Uh-oh, that means every desire you have to read the Word of God, that comes from Him. How about an urge to pray? Where's that come from? It comes from God, through the Holy Spirit. How about the burden you have for a lost soul? That comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The impulse to give out a tract or one of these you're invited cards, inviting someone to church, witnessing to someone. Where does that desire come from, church? It comes from God, from the Holy Spirit. As we're walking in the Spirit, He's trying to lead us. He's trying to guide us. He's trying to say something encouraging to someone, trying to get them to know our Savior. So when it says, don't quench the Spirit, it simply means respond to His moving. Obey the Spirit. Give in to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Don't brush off. Don't snub the Holy Spirit, because it is an offense. Are you listening? It is a sin. That's how serious it is. He's trying to lead you to do something. He's trying to lead you to stand up for Him, witness to somebody. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. And a lot of times we're snubbing Him. We're brushing Him off. That is an offense in the presence of God. It is a sin. Let me give you an example. I gave you an example of David last week, right? Now this is good. All right. Last week was kind of negative. All right. David had committed terrible sins. Praise God, he got right with God. But here's an instance where David... This is a wonderful story. He was a man after God's own heart, and one reason is he did not quench the Spirit in his life. In 2 Samuel 6, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give you a recap of the story. You can study it later. David was king. All right, are you with me? The Ark of God, Ark of the Covenant, was in the hands of the enemy, the Philistines. Y'all remember this story? David knew the ark represented the presence of God. He needed God's presence and power. How many would say, ooh, me too. I need God's presence and power. We all do. So with this in mind, David went out to bring to Jerusalem the ark of God. David tried to do a good thing in the wrong way. Uh-oh. In Numbers chapter 4, he gave specific instructions God did about moving the ark. It was to be carried by long poles or staves, which had been made for the ark, inserted through the rings on the sides of the ark. I wish I would have had a picture for you to see this, and how they had rings on the side of the ark, and long poles went through those rings, and that's the way you were supposed to carry the ark. Also, the sons of Kohath were to be the ones to carry it. Most important, God said, do not touch it, lest ye die. David ignored Scripture. Now, this is the bad part, but I'm getting to the good part, okay? Hey, by the way, he was a man after God's own heart. He made mistakes. Can anyone relate to that? You can still be a man after God's own heart and blow it every now and then. I'm a great witness to that, okay? You don't have a perfect pastor, and I mess up all the time. So here he goes. He ignores Scripture. He has them carry the ark. They put it on a new cart, totally against what God had said. Well, the oxen shook the ark. Uzzah put his hand on the ark. Uh-oh. What happened to Uzzah? Immediately died. Because God said, don't touch it, or lest ye die. Well, God killed Uzzah on the spot. This scared David so much that he left the ark in Obed-Edom. With Obed-Edom. That's right. He's a Gittite. He was a person. Well, God blessed the house of Obed-Edom immensely. And the report came to David of how much God was blessing the family of Obed-Edom because of the ark. Well, that's all it took. So here's what David did. He went after the ark again. He wanted God's blessings. He wanted God's presence and power. So he got the ark, brought it into Jerusalem. Man, you're talking about some great gladness and joy. He was happy. He was rejoicing. As they entered the city, the Bible says, David danced before the Lord. Uh-oh. How many thought Baptists weren't supposed to dance, all right? I heard some preacher say, let's see what it is, a praying knee and a dancing foot can't be on the same leg. Did you hear that? Now, I'm not for dancing if it's inappropriate. But, boy, here, David danced before the Lord with all his might, it says. Why was David dancing? It was a custom in those days that at the head of any parade or processional, someone, usually a slave, would get out in front of the procession and dance up and down, much like a court gesture would do. Why were they dancing? It was in honor of the one whom the procession was made. That day, King David's heart was so full that he himself took the lowly position or place of a servant, a slave, and he danced up and down in honor of the Lord God of heaven. Now, he wanted to do the honor himself. He did not quench the spirit. He said, nope, that's not the job of a slave today. That's going to be my job. And he felt the spirit wanted him to get out in front and honor Jesus Christ. Now, or honor God. He did not quench the spirit. He responded to his inner desire, the prompting. Now, he didn't hold back his emotion. Everyone responded with shouting, and David didn't worry about what others thought. He humbled himself. The Bible says he did it before the Lord. He was dancing for an audience of one. By the way, that's why you come to church. Sing to him. Listen. Give. Do everything you do for an audience of one. Not for the preacher. Not for those around you. Come to church to worship him. Amen, church? So that's what David did. He humbled himself before the Lord. So I just want to encourage you today. Don't quench the Spirit. Respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Now, some respond with a tear. God ever spoke to your heart through a song? Or while somebody's preaching or teaching, and all of a sudden, you feel some moisture coming down your face. Some of you respond that way. I do that a lot. How about amen? Some of y'all say amen. Thank you, men, for the amens this morning. I love that. And maybe some women. Did you have any women say amen? All right, go ahead. You know what? Some people laugh. I don't mean a hearty where everybody hears them, but just under their breath, man, God is so good. Woo! And they just get excited. How about this one? Some praise him in song. Some praise him through a testimony. Some praise him through a raised hand. By the way, that's biblical. Some praise him in a trip to the altar. They're under conviction. Or they just want to come to the altar and pray and say, Lord, thank you for all your blessings in my life. I couldn't stay in my seat any longer. I just had to thank you. So no matter how you respond, hey, as long as we're sincere, we're not doing it for show, we're thankful for the goodness of God, it's liberating when you're responding to the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has not been quenched. If he leads you to shed a tear or say amen or break out in song or a testimony or raise that hand or make a trip to the altar, he's not being quenched. Now, some won't understand. In the story of David Danson, Michael, his wife, the Bible says she despised him in her heart. Whoa. David, or his wife, wrongly criticized her husband David. She was judged, by the way. David was not judged for his dancing. Can I hear an amen? But Michael was judged for criticizing him. And the Bible says later that God shut up her womb because of what she did. Wow. So David responded properly. He did not quench the Spirit, but Michael did. And I got another illustration in Luke 24. We were here last week. Y'all remember me talking about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection and how they didn't even realize they were talking to Jesus. But an interesting thing happened. They finally did recognize Jesus. Remember, their hearts burned within them when Jesus expounded unto them the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Remember me mentioning that last week? Remember, they had heavenly heartburn? Their hearts burned within them. They responded to Jesus. Now listen, I didn't tell you the rest of the story. They constrained him and said, abide with us. Wow. And guess what Jesus did? He did it. He stayed the night with them. What a time they must have had. Can you imagine Jesus actually walking with you? That was good enough. Actually talking with them. That was awesome. But then staying in their house, eating with them. Man, we can experience all of that through the Holy Spirit's power. He's with us, y'all. He's not in his physical body, but he's with us right now. And we can fellowship with him, walking and talking and eating, everything we do. He's with us. I think many Christians have had their hearts burn within them a hunger and desire, a desire for God and to do his will. Some cry out to God and constrain him to let them know all that he wants them to know. And buddy, they're just stepping step by step. They're saying, Spirit, abide with me. Jesus, come on, stay a little longer. I want to have that sweet fellowship. But there are other Christians, are you listening, that quench the Spirit. Hey, this idea of abiding with Jesus, no, that's not for me. Church at Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, that's good enough for me. That's all the Jesus I need. Woo, what a shame. Please don't ever say that. You may be thinking it, but don't say it out loud, because that just shows where you're at. Hey, he wants us to abide with him. He wants us to welcome him into our hearts. Hey, you can even go to this darkest corner of this room in my heart. You can search out every area. It's all open to you. But a lot of Christians, oh boy, don't go there. Don't do that in my life. And the Holy Spirit's trying to lead them and prompt them, but we're stopping that urge. We're quenching the Spirit. We don't respond obediently. We don't invite him to stay a little longer. We don't develop that close relationship. Got one more example. This is short. Moses. When Moses saw the burning bush, he had a choice to make. He said, oh, that's nice. He could have just walked on. But the Bible says when he saw that burning bush, he turned around and focused on that burning bush. And then, of course, once he did that, the Lord spoke to him and led him. He did not ignore it. He didn't go off on his merry way. He turned aside to see. That's the Bible term. He had to see what was going on. And let me just tell you this. He was never the same again. How many saw Jesus on that cross in your mind? Somebody was preaching on it. Somebody was telling you about it. And finally, you turned aside to see. And you saw Jesus as your Savior for the first time. He was working in your life. You responded to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And I'm telling you, Moses was never the same. And how many of you have never been the same since that point? Amen. That's what salvation's all about. We're new creatures. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. In many ways, God's tried to get our attention. But how many times have we quenched the Spirit? We are to walk by faith. We ought to walk with a sensitivity to the slightest moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, I got a word of caution for you. I think they got it on the screen. Here we go. Ready? Never will his promptings lead us to do something that is contrary to his word. Remember my famous saying that the lady said to Tanya one day, I know what the Bible says, but. And buddy, she filled in the blanks. In other words, I know exactly what's right, but I'm going to do my own thing. You think the Lord's going to bless that lady's life? You think he's going to bless my life if I said, well, I know what the Bible says, but. We got to be so careful. Never will his promptings. Now be very careful with this. Because a lot of times we come up with our own promptings. This is what the Lord wanted me to do. And all it is your preference or your opinion. You're not following what God wants you to do. Because I'm here to tell you, never, say that word with me, ready? Never will his promptings lead us to do something that is contrary to the word of God. Now, I could go on tangents there, but I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to you the way he wants to. Just remember this. Every new idea, every thought, every hunch, every brainstorm, every desire you have concerning spiritual things comes from God. Because it's not in our nature to have those kind of thoughts. So if it's a spiritual thought, hallelujah, that's coming from God. He may be speaking to you through a circumstance or through his word, through prayer, through church, through wise, godly counsel. He may be wanting you to witness to someone. Just remain obedient. Don't quench the Spirit. We got to be sensitive to that still small voice within our hearts. Hey, I'm praying. You know what? I think sometimes in some churches and in some Christians' lives, they're saying this to God. Don't move in our church. Don't move in my heart. If you did, you'd scare us to death. I think a lot of churches feel that way. Whereas I'm the complete opposite. God, you move any way you want to. God, we need revival. We need a stirring of the Spirit in our hearts. We need him leading us as a church, leading us as families, leading us as individuals. And we need to say, yes, I want to respond as you prompt me every step of my life. I want to follow you. Don't quench him. Don't put a stop to that urge when he's leading you to do something. I'm praying for a shaking of God's power and his presence in our lives. I'm praying for God's people to respond. Now I got one more thing, and I think I put it all on the sheet. Here we go. What a joy it is to be liberated by the Holy Spirit. Would you say amen to that? What a joy it is to be liberated by the Holy Spirit and allow him to move and to direct us in such marvelous ways. Y'all, that's what he wants to do. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. That verse in Philippians 2. But a lot of times we don't allow him to. But what a joy it is to be liberated by the Holy Spirit. Allow him to move and direct us in marvelous ways. Here we go. Next time he moves in your heart, don't quench the Spirit. Respond to his promptings and see God work in your life. Now, how is he speaking to you right now? You say, preacher, I'm ready to eat. That's an urge that he's given you. And real soon, you're going to be able to quench that or feel that urge and fulfill that desire. I'm hungry too. But before we get to that point, what are you doing with how the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now? Maybe during the process of this message, he said, you need to get rid of that in your life. I mean, he was specific, and I didn't even mention sins today or, you know, name any. But he's the one that responded to you. He's the one that was talking to you. How about he said, you need to do this. You need to get in the Word. You need to get back in church. You need to pray more. You need to give out some more cards that say you're invited. You need to stand up for me at your workplace. However the Lord has spoken to you, what you going to do with it? Don't quench him. Hey, a lot of us need to be in this altar. A lot of us need to respond to his wooing in our hearts. A lot of us need to get rid of sin. A lot of us need to get right with a brother or sister. Do whatever it takes. We need to let our light shine. That's what the ladies learned about at the ladies' retreat. So many times we let our lights dim through sin, through a bad attitude. We're supposed to shine our light. Don't let the devil defeat you. Put that light out. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder right now, would you respond to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life? I wonder if you're here today and you're not saved, you come take my hand. Hey, I feel convicted. I know I have a need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only way. I'm going to respond to him today. I'm going to be saved. Or perhaps you're here today and you're saved, but a lot of times you're quenching the Spirit. You're not obeying him. He's trying to lead you to do things, and you're saying, nope, 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 nope. When he wants you to say, yes, 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 yes. I want to respond to his voice. I don't want to snub him. I don't want to stifle his work in my life. I want to respond to the voice of God. And maybe you just need to come take care of that today. Would you join me in the altar? Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we give you this time. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to determine we're not going to quench the Spirit. We're going to follow you. Speak to our hearts. And then, Lord, if there's anybody here not saved, I pray they be saved right now. May today be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you come?